Happy NBA back day. Golic and Wingo with you. ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests, as you know, join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line as Mike Golic Jr.'s got his stink face on to this song. You got a full stink face on you.
It's, I mean, I think the whole Astro World scene there kind of had this feeling to it there, so.
No, it's good.
You were into it.
I was enjoying you being into that moment.
Dad, it was kind of like yesterday. I think it was Gordon Lightfoot for you. Where you immediately, I called it the candle face, because you made a face like what you were hearing was so sweet you had to move, right?
Anytime I hear my man Gordon, absolutely right.
Well, yeah, anytime I hear like a filthy trap beat or something I get the stink called. Face. Like I've just smelled like rotten eggs or something
smell
like
the
that.
Fart acting, as there Joey said on Friends.
There you go.
When you don't know what to say and you have to look away quizzically, you look like you just smelled a fart.
There you go. And this sounds like it's a penultimate show of Golic and Wingo.
Actually, it sounds like every show.
Yeah, that's true.
Farts and stank.
Maybe that's why it's a penultimate show.
Yeah, those things cannot possibly be correlated. So we're getting set for the relaunch of the NBA tonight. Mike Breen, the uber awesome play-by-play guy for all of us, is going to join us in just a little bit. But as we've been doing, because it's been, again, since March 11th.
Yes, it has.
When the hard pause came in sports. Started by the NBA shutting it down after Rudy Gobert tested positive for the Jazz in that game in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. And we're getting back, and folks are in the bubble, and the bubble is working really well right now. Kudos to them. The Wubble is also working, and the MLS bubble is also working. We thought you might have just forgotten a few things, because the world has gone on in a really weird and terrifying way on a lot of levels throughout all of 2020. So you might not have remembered everything about one of your favorite or least favorite NBA teams as they get set to try and win a championship. And of course, one of those teams trying to win it all is trying to win back-to-back championships, and that would be the Toronto Raptors. So for your NBA status update before the season resumes, let's check in with the defending champs and Josh Lewinberg from TSN 1050 Radio.
Golic and Wingo, NBA status update. Status update. Toronto Raptors.
This is Josh Lewinberg with TSN in Toronto. And the last time we saw the reigning champion Toronto Raptors, they were one of the NBA's great feel-good stories. Despite losing Kawhi Leonard and dealing with a barrage of injuries to key players, they exceeded even the most optimistic preseason expectations, going 46-18, good for the second-best record in the Eastern Conference and the third-best record in the NBA. They did it with the league's second-ranked defense, the likely coach of the year in Nick Nurse, and a handful of players that were enjoying career seasons, including Pascal Siakam, Norman Powell, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, and Serge Ibaka. Now they come back for the restart fully healthy for the first time since way back in October, and they're confident they can make it out of the East and get back to the finals. As Nurse said this week, we still haven't seen their ceiling.
Josh, thanks very much. And it is a remarkable job, I think, that the Raptors and Nick Nurse have done, because you lost your guy, the dude who literally in every way carries you to that NBA championship and lifted an entire nation. And so here you are sitting with one of the best records in the East and the potential to really have a say in how all this entire thing plays out.
I think there's a different difficulty that comes with what they had to do, because remember, the Raptors have been a very good 1-2 seed in the Eastern Conference. For a while, they just dealt with the LeBron ceiling for a long time, and then they got that transcendent player. Now it's the adjustment again to, all right, going back to life before, having a guy you could count on to be the bucket in those key situations, the easy answer to all this, and it's a testament to what Masai Ujiri's done there, and certainly their team building and development overall that Nick Nurse has been a part of.
And they seem to be pretty locked into that 2-slot, a few games lead over the third-seeded Boston in this one. But, man, the 8 games they have, they play both top seeds. They play the Lakers and Milwaukee. They play both 3 seeds. They play Boston and Denver, the 3 seed in the West. And they also play a 4 seed in Miami. So, I mean, they have some tough games in this final 8 game trying to get ready themselves for the playoffs.
They are one of the most interesting teams to watch, too, because, like we've heard so much from Brian Windhorst, they were down there early because of the restrictions with Canada and having to enter the country early. They had been down in Florida running practice as a team in their own pre-bubble environment. So how much will that pay off when they get to game action?
So we're all excited that the NBA NBA is back. But I imagine our excitement about the NBA being back is nowhere near the level of our next guest, who is our guy to lead us through the NBA wilderness as it returns as our play-by-play voice, none other than the incomparable Mike Breen, who joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike, thanks. Good morning. Hope everyone associated with you is healthy and safe. How excited are you tomorrow night in that Celtics-Bucks game to say for the first time, bang, after all these months?
I might say it on the first layup, for crying out loud. I'm so fired up. Would you guys like an update on one of your previous guests?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right, I'm on the 15th floor of the hotel, and Doris Burke, after appearing on your show, immediately went to the first tee. I'm overlooking the golf course. Oh, yeah. She just missed a 3-foot putt on the first hole and was so annoyed, she threw her putter into the lake. Now, she's trying to retrieve it at this particular moment, but I don't think she's going to be able to get it. And she's going to have to putt with a 6-iron or a 5-iron for the rest of the round.
If you can scream down, Doris, there are things in those lakes at Disney that you don't want to mess with. Leave the putter where it is. Well, we need Doris.
I think the biggest question, Mike, to anybody who golfs is, why did she putt the 3-footer? That's in the circle of friendship. Yeah. That's a gimme as far as I'm concerned.
Especially how much she apparently has been drinking down there. Yeah. So, you know.
That's a great point, guys.
All right, so Mike, as we get ready again, basketball starts tonight. We're all excited about it. So while we're hyped for games, these are 8 games to kind of settle the seeding here. What are your kind of expectations, especially from the higher level teams, on how they're going to play these?
Well, to me, Mike, that one of the really intriguing parts is the unknown. I mean, this changes everything, in my opinion. You know, clearly the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, they were the best team prior to the suspension, and they still are. But I think the gap is narrowed because of all these intangibles that are thrown in. Intangibles that we don't know how they're going to play out, from individual players to certain teams. I think it's just it's a crapshoot right now in terms of what's going to happen, because it's so unprecedented. The fact that there's no fans, the fact that the players are not going to be with their families. I just think anybody who makes predictions is just throwing up a wild guess, because it's all so new. And that to me is one of the real intriguing parts, this unknown, this thing that we've never seen before, that's going to happen starting tonight.
And starting tonight, and certainly then tomorrow night, you'll be on the call, Bucks-Celtics in that one. And we were just talking to Doris before her putter throw in a lot of this about the otherworldly defense that the Bucks had been playing during the course of this season. Is there the feeling that that's going to be the easiest part to reclaim, that as the shots are slow to come back, that defense could be the thing that gives them a huge leg up in all this?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt, although many of the players, guys, have been saying that the setup in the venues, and there are 3 different venues, you know, obviously there's lighting on the court, but it's so dark around the court, and a lot of the shooters have been saying it's a great shooting arena to play in. So, you know, the offense might have a little edge there. The other thing, too, is that a lot of the coaches have saying they've had more practices in the past couple of weeks than they had during the course of the entire regular season. That's the biggest beef from coaches with the schedules and the load management and not practicing after back-to-back games, that they don't have enough time to practice. Well, they've had a lot of time to practice, and I think that's one of the reasons why the play has actually been a little sharper than we expected. We thought it was going to be just a ragged mess to begin with, but there's actually been some really good basketball played in the scrimmages.
Mike Breen with us. Mike, you talked about everything sort of being an unknown because of how different this approach is going to be, the 8 games to finish up the regular season, then the tournament-style approach to getting in and the postseason. Well, one team that was very consistent in the regular season was the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers. When they played on their home court, they were great. When they played away, they were not great. Do you think that's going to help them or hurt them at this point, knowing that every game is a neutral court?
Well, Ben Simmons was saying that one of the reasons he's sorry the fans aren't there is because the Philly fans, when they booed the home team, would motivate them. And the Philly fans are known to be so tough even on their home team. But I think that's a great question. And it's, you know, they obviously were inspired by their home court. And I think that was more of a positive for them than the road negative. I mean, to me, going in for Philadelphia, the key is always the health of the two stars. And neither one of them were healthy during the regular season. And I think that really played into why they were so up and down. Both are extremely healthy right now. And I think that they're a team that absolutely nobody wants to play. There's a few candidates in that thing. But I think Philadelphia is going to be fine because they're just healthy. I think it's more of that than it is anything to do with home court advantage for that particular team.
Let me just say, I can confirm about Philadelphia fans. In Philadelphia, we're talking to Mike Breen. He's on the call tomorrow for Milwaukee and Boston. As far as the team aspect of this, Mike, we were talking about pressure on a team. And with Milwaukee and trying to be that upper echelon team and get a championship, to persuade Giannis to stay in Milwaukee. Because this has been such an odd year, do you still think this year will have a major effect on that, whether they win the title or lose the title?
Yeah, I think it will to some extent, because he has clearly stated time and time again that, you know, his goal was to be the best player. He proved that last year and probably this year again, because, you know, more than likely he's going to win another MVP. But he wants to win championships. And if he doesn't feel that's going to happen in Milwaukee, then I think he might look elsewhere. But it's way too early to speculate with him. He is just he's one of the most focused professional players I've ever seen, and he's an old school guy. He's not one of those that's working out with other guys on teams during the off season. He's not one of those guys that's doing hugs before and during games. He wants to crush his opponent, and right now he's just so focused on winning this year and thinks that they can. You know, they've already made some adjustments. They didn't sign Malcolm Brogdon last year because they knew they had to save some money when his time came up. I really believe he's one of those guys. He's not even thinking about next year or the year after or where he's going to play. He's just thinking about winning every single game in the playoffs to get that championship.
Mike, I'm curious, is that single-minded focus there is not surprising, given everything that we've seen about Giannis publicly there? He's one of the guys we do know a lot about and have our eye on. LeBron James and the Lakers are certainly getting that billing, but they're part of opening night playing a Clippers team that so many people had as the odds-on favorite going in that hasn't really felt like it's gotten a ton of buzz, which seems like the Kawhi Leonard effect on all this. So I'm curious, as the Clippers have been inside the bubble, certainly they've dealt with everything with Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, all these things surrounding guys not being there. But how is the health of this team and the continuity stacking up for their potential run now?
Well, they haven't really had any chance for continuity because so many of their key guys have either left the bubble or got to the bubble late. So it's hard to tell. And they're a team because, you know, they're two best players. It's in their first year playing together. So they still have some work to be done. But you want to talk about defense. Just put Patrick Beverley, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard on the court at the same time. Those are three starters. Those are three of the premier elite defenders in the NBA. They are just a beast defensively. So if they're healthy, they're going to be fine. But I do think that Doc Rivers wishes he had more time with all this practice time to have everybody there. But unfortunately, they just had too many key guys missing. By the way, the picture that you have up, that must have been taken at least 25 years ago. I don't have a dark hair on my head anymore. and Trey, you know, I've talked about this. We're members of the NDC, the No Dye Club in broadcasters.
Yes. There you go, baby.
There's not many of us, so I'm a big proponent of gray hair. So
yeah, wear it with pride, baby.
Love that.
We've earned every one of them. So we'll see what happens going forward as the grand experiment begins. Mike, we appreciate your time this morning, and hey, really looking forward to hearing your call tomorrow night.
I can't wait, guys, and congratulations on just, you know, putting out this. I'm going to make an NBA analogy, and especially for Mike Senior. We always talked about the San Antonio Spurs making the playoffs year after year, winning multiple championships, and the phrase we always used for them was sustained excellence. Well, that's you, Mike Golic, and what you've done for, you know, a couple of decades now. It's just sustained excellence year after year, and you've got so many fans and admirers in our industry.
Mike, I appreciate that very much, and always appreciated you coming on and helping out the show and making us sound smarter. And I look forward to the day my hair is completely the color of yours.
It'll never happen. It's ridiculous. It's just, it's really annoying, Mike. But we appreciate
Thank
your
you
kind
very
words.
Much, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Bang. Very nice of him. Appreciate it.
Bang.
You went bang.
Bang. I was hoping he would just like let one slip on the way out. Like, hey, guys, oh, by the way. Bang.
Oh, no, he did better. He outed Doris Burke as a putter thrower.
How about that?
That's better than
that. He said he might throw the bang out on a layup. Because you're an expert person. Bang!
He can't even wait as soon as the ball tips. You should bang!
I wonder if Doris Burke yelled bang when she threw the putter into the lake.
Oh, my gosh.
More importantly. Would you imagine if Mike Breen's up there and he's watching it happen and he just sees Doris get ready to throw it, and as soon as she lets it fly, she just hears bang from up on the balcony.
Or he's calling it a Burke three-footer.
No.
Putter, bang, into the lake.
Here comes the putter throw.
There you go.
I can't remember the last time golfing alone, I actually putted a three-footer.
Exactly.
Seriously.
It's good. Pick it up.
Yes.
You know what else is good? Talking to Jess Mendoza about everything that's going on in Major League Baseball, and she joins us now on our cavalcade of guests. Jess, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Where are you on the outrage meter on Joe Kelly and the suspension for the Dodgers? A, of course they had to do it because look what happened. People were on the field together. We can't have that in a pandemic. Or B, my God, that's 22 games in the regular season, and the umpires didn't even warn Joe Kelly as he was doing it.
Yeah, B is definitely where I lie, but I do understand that Major League Baseball had to do something because they made a statement heading into the season. They would not tolerate anyone throwing at any batters with the Houston Astros. This clearly did that, but I mean, let's be real. I mean, 21 games is the equivalent of those 8 games if you look at a 162-game season, and I'm blown away just because of the fact he wasn't even thrown out of that game itself. And now here he is in a significant part of the season, 8 games. I do believe with the appeal, it'll probably get down to more, I'm hoping 3, maybe 4, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm definitely more on the outrage category, although they did have to make some sort of statement. And I do believe pitchers will now think twice before maybe if they wanted to come at Alex Bregman and the Astros, they might not do it now.
Also, maybe not put it on your Instagram page that you might be coming for him either. That doesn't help. Joe Kelly had a little bit of a history on that. And yeah, you mentioned not thrown out of the game. Hell, he wasn't even warned. The only warning that went out was to the Astros. But we move on. We keep playing. And now, Jess, I'm wondering what the ball players will feel like. They're talking about doubleheaders with the possibility of these doubleheaders being 7-inning games. How do you think players will adjust to something like that? And do you like that idea?
I love it. I love it just because in this year, it's throwing up anything against the wall, seeing what sticks. I mean, I think this is needed in just the sense of bullpen arms. I mean, I did a game yesterday, and once we get into these bullpens, I mean, yes, there's an expanded roster of 30 guys, but I mean, these pitchers are still struggling to throw strikes. They're getting, you know, worn down because I saw Jesus Luzardo, who's basically the closer for the A's, come in for 4 innings. Yesterday, 4 innings, because it was such an important game. I mean, every game is significant. And when I think about the doubleheaders that are already starting to pile up, there was one with Cleveland, Chicago yesterday. Why not have 14 innings? Because I think what, like, traditional fans get caught up in is, like, 7 innings. Like, why could you take my beloved 9 and turn it into 7? But what you're really doing is turning 18 into 14, which I think is huge to cut out those extra 4 innings, because that's what they're talking about, is a doubleheader. It's not taking a regular game and turning it from 9 to 7. It's taking a doubleheader and turning it from 18 to 14. And I think that's important, especially because we're so limited. And why not try something new and see how it works?
Talking to Jess Mendoza with us here, and trying something new and seeing how it works is kind of the mantra for this entire season. To that end, in light of everything that we saw happen with the Marlins, I want to play you some sound from Dr. Fauci yesterday on the ESPN Daily, talking about what he thought the MLB might do, potentially shutting down the season if another outbreak occurs. Here's what he said.
I mean, obviously they will. I mean, the one thing that I really have to avoid with this, because sometimes I say things in response to a simple question, and it gets taken out of context. And someone will say, Fauci says stop the season. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I have enough faith in the good judgment of the people who are making that decision that it seems likely that they will at least consider that as a possibility if you have multiple outbreaks. Whether or not they're going to do it, I think I'll leave it up to their good judgment.
Jess, do you trust the good judgment of Major League Baseball going forward?
That's a great question. I don't think it's obviously ever been more challenged than now. And I can't really answer that in a yes or no, just because I feel like to be in the shoes of Major League Baseball right now, I can't even imagine. It did make me, because I listened to that full interview, it made me feel a lot better, to be honest, listening to Dr. Fauci talk about the length of conversations that were had with him throughout, obviously, the decisions coming up with the protocols, even throughout the season as it was beginning. That did make me feel better to know that this wasn't just a room of owners, the Players Association, Rob Manfred making these decisions, but the fact that they at length asked questions. And you could tell by Dr. Fauci's interview that he felt very good about where Major League Baseball was at as far as the thoroughness of what they're trying to do. Are they going to make mistakes? Heck yeah. But I feel like they need to be able to react and adapt and change and honestly admit we were wrong. And I think that as we see outbreaks happen, as we see more than like one player from a team, that team needs to be shut down. And then obviously the suspension of a season needs to be considered, even though there's money on the line and we get all the players want to play. But to me, it's really important for them to understand and continue to have conversations with those that know, like a Dr. Anthony Fauci, and I appreciate the fact that they've had as many conversations as they've had.
Yeah, and listen, it's something that obviously everyone is watching, and so far, again, the Philadelphia Phillies have had no positive tests from being on the field with them on Sunday, which is the best possible news. Again, we'll have to keep that updated as the quarantine can, or the infection rate can be up to 14 days. Jess, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thanks, Jess.
Hey, have a little fun on this show, huh?
We're trying.
You guys are, I came on. You guys have so much fun. I love it.
Thanks.
Absolutely, Jess.
Thank you to adding to it as well. We do appreciate that. I always love when people come on and kind of get what we're doing, you know, and play along with us.
You get the show.
No, we're just kind of knuckleheads anyway. So
yeah. I was going to say, they come down and slop. It's like a mud game. They come down and slop around.
That's exactly right. They're mudders. Yeah, that's what I always said. When it rained
water the
or
field.
Anything, man, it helped my game. Everybody came down to my level.
We like to water the field for
that's
our
exactly
guests.
Exactly right.
What we do. Coming up next, from sports playing outside the bubble to one that is having so much success inside it, we'll get inside the bubble. I feel like we shamed Kawhi into never laughing again.
I know. I feel
and
bad
I feel about bad about that.
Too. We did. We ruined it. We ruined a good thing.
Yeah. Well,
that's why we can't have nice things.
Well, I think he's okay with it.
He's pulling through, huh?
He seems to be doing just fine, as does everybody inside the NBA
Boy,
bubble.
They really do.
Kudos to the association for getting that completely right so far. Granted, still a long way to go, all that kind of stuff. But everything is off to a great start, and the NBA does restart tonight. So once again, let's delve inside the NBA bubble. We are delighted to be joined by our compatriot and colleague, Rachel Nichols from The Jump, who is living that bubble life along with so many other people that we've had on the show this morning.
She is, and so we have to get with, I think, the most important update out of all of this, because the last time we talked to Rachel, things were transpiring inside the bubble. And so, Rachel, good morning. We're happy to talk to you
good
again
morning,
now.
Friend.
How's the puzzle going?
Yep.
All right. Well, I've made more progress. I'm more optimistic than the last time I spoke with you guys. I was pretty down. I had had some defeats. I had been dealt some blows. I'm not going to lie. I thought about giving up, but no, I persevered. And in fact, I have the entire border of the puzzle done and maybe two or three key interior sections. So I've now revived hope that by the end of this sort of regular season NBA seeding game period, this puzzle can be done. We will see. I don't want to commit, but I feel better. I feel better. I'm not going to lie. I feel a little bit better about myself there.
For anyone that missed it the last time Rachel was on with us, she has undertaken the task of completing a puzzle of six of the Disney villainesses this one. And so we have a border fully complete.
You can't name.
Yes, I was a bit ashamed of
we
that.
We struggled with that. We know there are 10 in all the movies, but we couldn't really name all six of the ones. So now we have to wait for you to finish the puzzle, take a picture of it, and send it so that we know. And one of the reasons I think you don't have time to finish the puzzle is the piece you did on, you know, some of the things you don't think about when you're heading to this situation, because we've never really had it, but their practice, their play, we've seen guys fishing, we've seen them golfing. But all that's going on behind the scenes, your piece on the packages that are coming in to the bubble and what players are ordering and online because they're going to be there for a while. Just take us through some of that. It was amazing.
It really is incredible. One of the things is they built this whole sort of colony from the NBA from scratch. And when you do that,
everything has to be shipped in. And some of it was done ahead of time, sort of the big layout that the NBA did. But the stuff that the players are putting together for themselves, the teams, everything has to be shipped in. So they basically dedicated an entire convention center ballroom, turned it into sort of a warehouse for NBA shipping. They have two or three giant UPS trucks that pull up every day full of Amazon boxes, boxes from home, and then boxes from companies I will get into in a minute. They've got a whole Amazon separate truck. They've got FedEx. They've got U.S. Mail. And the guys are ordering things that are both just sort of creature comforts of home. I know there's been several cases of wine that have come through, but also things to make these hotel rooms feel a little bit more like home, because they could be here for up to 3 months. So there's been espresso machines. There has been a refrigerator, and I don't mean like a little mini fridge you might put in a hotel room. I mean a full-size refrigerator with a freezer, ice maker little thing inside the door, the whole nine. Someone ordered a couch, which I mean, like, where in your hotel room that there's room for a couch is there not already a couch? Someone decided they would put an extra couch in. There's a boxing heavy bag that was in there earlier this week. Full-size arcade games that are going in someone's room, and the list goes on. And there's also things the NBA is bringing in additionally, too, but everything has to go through that warehouse. It gets Clorox wiped. It then gets Clorox sprayed down, and then gets distributed to everyone. It is a giant operation.
Two things there. Obviously, whoever ordered the couch is living in a villa.
That's exactly right.
We can go through the list of who got the villas and know that they got the couch, and that wine's either going to LeBron or, from what we learned this morning, Doris Burke.
That's exactly right.
Who is enjoying her beverages while she is inside the bubble, as Rachel Nichols is with us this morning. Rachel, look, everyone has been so pleased with the way this bubble situation has started, and it's been absolutely perfect, quite frankly, in fact, that there have been no positive tests yet. But is the NBA taking a victory lap, or are they still walking around on eggshells right now because there's still a long way to go?
Yeah, I think everyone is very aware there's a long way to go. And Adam Silver has done a couple TV appearances related to the restart happening tonight. And he said in several of them, made the point that if they have positive tests, this is how they'll handle it. If they have a few isolated ones, they'll try to trace them and they isolate everybody. If there's a whole rash of something that feels like it's spreading through the bubble, he said they will shut it down. So he is definitely not out there taking some victory lap of, oh, we're good. But they've set up a system where they very specifically put what they called layers of protection into the bubble, so that even if there is some way the virus gets in, they hope that there's a net where they can catch it before it starts spreading through actual whole teams or anything like that. And we'll just have to see. No one's ever done this before.
I'm going to make the strangest comparison I can in this situation, but I have no choice. When I was getting ready to call the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest that was also in a bubble environment, it was very different energy going into the day. But once it got started, I was amazed at how much it felt like a normal sporting event and like a normal version of that contest. Rachel, I'm curious what the energy is like around the bubble, knowing it's opening day, knowing we're going to get real games that are going to start counting again played starting tonight.
Yeah, I think people are so excited to have basketball back. I think everyone around the sport obviously has been very invested. It's been a lot of work too, right? I mean, there's buzz at the beginning of an NBA season no matter what, and it usually hasn't required this much sort of effort and great mountains move. So people are excited about tonight, but no one more so than the players. I've talked to a couple guys who've kind of made the point that, you know, being a basketball player is not just their job, it's their identity. Since they were eight, nine years old, who's that kid over there? Oh, he's a player. You should see him. He's going to be great. Or in high school, oh, that guy plays for so-and-so. Or in college, or now, it's sort of like, who's that guy on the edge of the party? Oh, he's an NBA player. That's how people refer to them. They are a basketball player. And for 4 months, they haven't played basketball. So the idea that they can go back out and do that at the level that they can do it at, you can tell that the guys aren't really dampened by the fact that, you know, it's going to be in a different place and no fans and all of that stuff. They just want to get out there and play.
So I wonder, you know, going back to their high school tournament days or AAU days when they played multiple games and multiple teams were there, when they'd watch other games, there are two games tonight. Is the expectation a lot of players from the other teams are going to go to these arenas and watch these games?
I don't see that happening tonight, especially because the players who don't play tonight play tomorrow and they have their openers tomorrow. So I don't think you'll see a lot of people in the stands. I am very curious to see how all of that goes, because I think either no players are ever going to do it because they don't want to be sort of caught sweating anyone else, or players are going to start doing it all the time. And like everything else, it will probably start with one of the more high-profile guys If one of them decides it's cool or it's okay to go see check out other games, they will. And I think other guys will follow, and we'll have to see. I did talk to the Antetokounmpo brothers, and they do want to go watch each other's games sometimes. So you might see Giannis in the stands at a Lakers game because his younger brother Kostas plays for the Lakers.
Oh, that's
nice
right.
to see the support yeah. in that one. And understand, you won't miss Giannis if he's in the stands.
No,
let's put it that way. It'll be pretty easy to find in all that.
The camera will find him.
Rachel, one of the other things in the lead up to all of this, because we remember what the energy felt like surrounding all the causes around social justice in the wake of the killing of George Floyd and how all-encompassing it was. And for a lot of guys, the fear was that basketball being back would make things feel more normal. And to some extent, that energy has shifted a bit. So I'm curious how conscious guys are of making sure that is a part of tonight, going into opening night, that they make sure and keep the pressure on the NBA and all the powers that be to keep knowing that this is going to be something that's around for the season.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't shifted here. It's been a topic of conversation every single day. Players have had a couple phone calls with the union to help sort of support them on things that they might want to be talking about or things that they might want to bring to their attention. One of the phone calls was with Breonna Taylor's mother, which is, you know, I was told was very emotional. Another phone call was with Michelle Obama, which was told was very rallying, and she's talking to players about getting out the vote. So, you know, they've been, since they've been here, talking and thinking about it, making plans, talking about it in their media availabilities. And then tonight you will see not only on the court has the NBA written Black Lives Matter, you will see on the backs of several of the players' jerseys, they've been given the option to put social justice messaging. And then they are going to play a national anthem here, which they have not been doing for the scrimmages. And when they do that, we expect the very first game, the Utah Jazz and New Orleans Pelicans, we expect the players to kneel together around the Black Lives Matter messaging on the court. So we'll have to see if they do that, but that is the plan that they've talked about.
A big part of what will be going forward for the NBA and how it will be made sure to keep it in the forefront of people's minds as they go forward, as the NBA does resume tonight. And we keep knocking on wood that the bubble situation will hold as well as it has so far. Rachel, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks very much.
I'm going to check the package room for you guys. You can see I'll put it out on Twitter if there's something for you here.
Thanks. Absolutely. Thanks, Rachel. Good luck with the puzzle.
Yeah. I expected, like, people, you know, family sending cookies. You guys are getting refrigerators and couches. I mean, oh, my gosh.
To hold the cookies.
It's unbelievable.
You can hold more cookies with a big refrigerator.
That's true.
The couch is such a flex, though, because you know that someone's living in the biggest villa.
And a full
it's one of four people.
A full-size video
It's probably one
machine.
Of four people that have those things in there.
Golly.
It is true. You know what? I could see a guy with a smaller room, just like maybe fresh out of college, younger guy who's not really used to like interior decoration, just jamming a couch in somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have to be a pretty big small room to jam an extra full-size couch in there.
I hope you got a big trunk because I'm putting my bike in there.
There you go. Coming up, will we see Zion tonight as the NBA restarts? We will get to that.
I dare That's anybody I like to listen to that song and not have your toe tap.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. My toe was tapped.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Timberlake. And you play the old
yeah.
man music?
Old man music for
Justin Timberlake.
No, it wasn't for Timberlake. It was the toe tapping.
You're telling me it never tapped?
Yes.
That's not dancing.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Vibing. That's
it
all
is
it is.
Not dancing. Vibing is better.
You're welcome.
We can go with that.
We good?
Yes, we're good. Too many technicalities for Golic this morning.
I think Cliff is
what
right
What would
here.
You call sitting in your seat, tapping your toe? If someone said, hey, what are you doing right now?
I'm vibing. I do love in that scenario that Cliff said vibing and you put vibing. You went vibing. It's just, you know,
I'm not
it's
very
vibing.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Hip hop.
I'm sure that'll make an appearance tomorrow.
No. Why would you hip-hop? Say that?
I think they've retired that one. I think Cliff has hip-hop? Grown and evolved a lot over the course of this quarantine.
Cliff.
Right.
Cliff.
Hip hop.
Bring that one. Bring that one.
Hip hop.
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Blue Emu. Maximum pain relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. And there's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu, maximum pain relief. Works fast and you won't stink.
Golic and Wingo here with you. We got some, thank you, got some breaking news about what's going to happen later on today in college football, specifically at the University of Iowa.
Yeah, our own Adam Rittenberg just tweeted this out, that Iowa's external review of the football program is complete. News conference today with AD Gary Barta and Coach Kirk Ferentz going to be coming up. The full report is available online. Obviously, have not had a chance to read that because it was tweeted 12 minutes ago, but the external review conducted there into the program after everything that went on. You know, their strength and conditioning coach, Chris Doyle, who was let go earlier as a course of this year with a healthy severance package in all that after the complaints that we had heard of mistreatment from current and former players at Iowa.
So, I mean, again, we have not read this report because it came out 12 minutes ago and we were doing the show. So, yeah. you know, what are the expectations? You know, the coach is going to be there. So is it, he's going to acknowledge all this and say they're going to help clean it up? Is he there to resign? Is he there to say this is my last year? I mean, there's certainly more than a few options it could go. I think we all collectively believe he's going to keep his job for this year. But again, as to anything else, we haven't had a chance to dive into this report at all.
I think it's especially interesting because this report and the outside counsel came in to review this after everything that went on initially, James Daniel kind of leading the charge of some former players who had talked about this stuff. But then in the last couple of weeks, we had that report that was unearthed that basically Iowa had done their own internal review a year before and it had a lot of these same complaints and not really done anything with it. They had started to address it. And then as Kurt Ferentz had said, it was on me because I forgot to revisit it with my guys. That is a big thing, and so the context of that in this situation, you have to wonder if that plays into it all, what their decision ultimately ends up being.
So we have that situation going on at Iowa. Again, that press conference is later on this morning. Meanwhile, Notre Dame talked to our own Heather Dinich about the situation Notre Dame finds themselves in, unofficially, officially part of a conference.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that was the big news coming out of yesterday, was that the ACC Board of Directors voted for an 11-game football season with a 10-game conference model, one team out of conference on the schedule, including Notre Dame, who was going to play six ACC games already, is now going to play 10 plus one in this season. As a member of the ACC, that Board of Directors voted that they'd be eligible to play in the conference championship that will not be decided by division winners this year. It'll be the two highest winning percentages and could ultimately receive the ACC's Orange Bowl berth were Notre Dame not the team selected for the college football playoff.
So the Pac-12 is conference only. The Big Ten is conference only. Now the ACC is conference plus one, 10 plus one. We're still waiting. There is a call today for the SEC, and we don't know if any decisions will be made. The Big 12, I believe there's a call Monday where four or five options are going to be laid out to them. But it all seems that maybe it's going toward this right now, the conference only or conference plus one.
Yeah, and so that seems to be it. But for Notre Dame, this is a big one, and we know this. I mean, Notre Dame's been independent for ever. And so now them being part of a conference is something different and unprecedented in this situation, and I think for a lot of people, they were hoping, a lot of people in the outside world, especially the conference folks, were hoping that the ACC would take this opportunity to strong-arm Notre Dame into joining the conference full-time from here on out and saying, this is what we need to have happen. When we know this has been, and Jack Swarbrick talked to the Notre Dame athletic director, talked to our own Heather Dinich, and basically said, we've been fortunate to have this partnership with the ACC, Commissioner Swofford, and the job that they have done making this possible has been appreciated, but this has been something mutually beneficial to both sides since they started this partnership.
I think this was an easy decision, right?
Yes,
of where everything is going this year, it's mutually beneficial to both sides. Notre Dame now, as I said, could have picked around to try and fill out their schedule outside of the six conference games, but here now they get 10 conference games and all the money is split. Notre Dame makes a lot of money from NBC in their home games. Notre Dame is going to split that 15 ways for all 15 teams in the ACC. So I believe for this year, it is a win-win.
The easy decision is for this year. The real interesting decision, we'll see what happens going forward after this year.
I don't think there'll be a decision. I think as long as college football exists normally next season, Notre Dame will go back to business as usual in this situation. But think about this. In 2020, with all the strange things that have happened, we might get to say, God willing, Notre Dame playing for a conference championship could be a real thing in the year of our Lord 2020. That alone is so historic.
That and the continued gifts from Patrick Mahomes are the only reason to uplift 2020 in thoughts and prayers in so many ways. All right, that'll do it for this show, Golic and Wingo Today. Coming up on Friday, we'll have a show.
That's it. Last
Pretty much
one.
All we got. Bring
people,
cake.
People will be on. Cake will be eaten.
Bring donuts.
Golic and Wingo will be signing off.
Boom. See ya.